Thanks for listening to Stokely and Zach On Demand. Before Zach tells us who is moonwalking in the Hall of Fame today, have you subscribed to our podcast? Subscribe everywhere you get your podcast or at 1043thefan.com.
It's Training Camp 50-50, Teddy versus Drew. Powered by Twin Peaks. Here's Stokely and Zach.
Time. You don't have to think about it. It is right here. It is right now.
In love so strange. Said you never know.
How you doing today, Brandon Stokely?
Doing great. What is going on?
Oh, you know. Just your run-of-the-mill Broncos 27-point win. Pick sixes, safeties, 80-yard bombs. You know how we do it around
here. Yeah. I mean, how about that?
Are you kidding me?
I mean, that was like old-school Broncos football there.
Right?
Defense played great.
Running the football.
Oh, ran the football. Explosive plays in the passing game. I mean, I might have missed the special teams play, but they played really well from what I recall watching. I thought they did a really good job. I mean, well-rounded victory right there. Well, I mean, that's as good as you could hope for in the first preseason game.
Right.
There's always asterisks in preseason games. You know, I don't like to get too excited. Remember what I told you last week?
What did you tell me last week?
I told you a lot, but the one thing I remember what I told you about us with the Colts in preseason.
You guys stunk.
We stunk. But then the regular season, guess what? We won 12 games every year. Just roll out of bed, win 12
Rolling
games.
Out of bed.
Roll out of bed, win 12 games. You know, that's just the way it was. So,
and you weren't trying to lose in the preseason.
No. But, you know, you got other things to accomplish. Like, Minnesota had other things to accomplish on Saturday rather than going out there trying to win a football game, right? Everybody has a different agenda. And I'm not going to sit here and boo-hoo-hoo-hoo all over the Broncos' victory, but I'm just going to tell you like it is and put it in context here that, you know, let's slow our roll a little bit. Is that okay with you?
Of course, okay, it's okay.
Okay, because I just want to pump. But I loved a lot of things that I saw.
Yeah.
But everything is in context here.
Context
okay?
is king.
It is because it is preseason. And the Vikings weren't playing anybody. Anybody. Okay, and the Broncos had a few guys out there. And it showed. And the Broncos took advantage. They made plays. They looked great. So I was fired up for it. But that means nothing for next week. That means nothing for week one. Nothing at all. Zero. And I have to tell myself that over and over again. Watching all these preseason games, they mean absolutely nothing when it comes to real football and what we're going to see on the opening weekend.
All right. Okay. There's your comeback down the earth moment.
I don't want it to be, but I'm just being real. This is real talk. Because I do it to myself, Zach.
Sure. Sure, but here's what I will say, and we're going to talk about a lot. We're going to break this thing down. I'm excited to be here.
I'm glad you're excited.
You're excited.
I got a great workout in this. I sweated. I needed it. And why does it not sound like I'm excited to be here? Because I'm hitting you with a little truth and honesty.
No, that's okay.
I mean, do you want me to say, hey, let's get the parade ready? Where's the ticker tape? Let's start buying that up.
17-0, baby.
Like, is that what you want, Zach? I mean,
No, no, of course not. That's the real. But I'll say this in response to that truth, okay? Because what you're saying is truth, okay? All you can do, and we've said this through the years, all you can do is go out there. If that's the setting that you're put in, then go out and ball. And that's what the Broncos did. They went out and balled. And we got to remember, it wasn't, and I'm not saying this as a retort to you, because I have nothing to retort. Everything you said is correct. But it wasn't like it was the Broncos ones beating up on the Vikings threes. There was a lot. Von Miller didn't play in that football game. Garrett Bowles didn't play in that football game.
Nope.
Bradley Chubb, Courtland. I mean, the list goes on and on. Melvin Gore. The list goes on and on. So I thought
Noah
actually.
Fant, Jerry Judy, Noah Glasgow. Fant,
Judy played.
No, that's what I'm telling you. They played. Fant played.
Did Fant play?
I thought I saw him out there. Unless it was, I mean, I thought I saw Fant.
Okay, but.
Did Fant play?
I don't have any notes on
I thought
on
I
Fant.
Saw Fant out there, and okay. Then Glasgow, and then Cushenberry, Judy. Hamler's like a, you know, if you go three wides, he's a starter.
True, that's true. That's
so,
true.
I mean, like the Broncos had some dudes out there on the offensive side.
Well, I'll say this. They beat him like a drum for four quarters.
Yeah.
And I think that this year is a little bit different than years past where the Broncos roster is just a little bit deeper than it's been. And I think that that preseason game exemplified that.
Great point. It is. The offensive line depth that the Broncos have, tremendous. You know, you look at Mooty and they're playing left guard. Tackles, you know, we got Calvin Anderson and Massey and Fleming. I mean, you got good depth there. I mean, none of them are all pros, but solid football players with good depth.
For sure.
So, and now you're seeing, you know, Hamler in his second year, Judy in his second year. Although I saw a little bit too much of Judy. We don't need to play him that much out there. And...
By the way, Noah Fant did start. He didn't have a catch, but he did start that football game.
I thought my eyes weren't deceiving me. It's Monday, but you know, I'm on it. I'm on it today. Okay,
we'll see.
So yeah, we'll see. Still got 3 hours left. Still got time.
Still got time to screw it up.
No doubt. But look, everything that you said is spot on. Also, you just go out there and you compete against who's out there. You can't control the other team, but also. You know, my point is, hey, let's not start, you know, getting the parade route ready. That's it.
For sure.
But I loved what I saw. And I'm not going to be Debbie Downer today. I loved what I saw. Both quarterbacks played really well. Drew Lock made a couple great throws in there. He only threw the ball seven times. But there's a couple throws in there that I really, really loved. And I saw one in particular that I was like, man, this guy made some progress this offseason. And he took it to the game. So I really liked that. There was a lot of positives, so many positives there.
I just had to double check. I just had to double check the box score. And I remember seeing it up on the screen. They put the graphics side by side on the 9 News broadcast. But you just reminded me, like, Drew Lock attempted 7 total passes.
Right.
Like, who throws for 151 yards and 2 touchdowns when you attempt just 7?
When you have an 80-yard pass in there.
Right. But, I mean, even take away the 80-yard pass. What are you left with?
70? 71?
Okay. And that's split up between 4 other completions.
Yeah.
I mean, he had himself a day.
He played great. You know, one of them was a big catch and run from Judy. That was a long one there. Judy caught like a 6-yard pass. And, I mean, he hit that sideline.
Oh, my gosh.
And, you know, he's not a runner out of bounds. You know, Joel Dreesen would love Jerry Judy. You know, Joel hates me because I would run out of bounds every now and then.
What did he describe you as?
Oh,
it
gosh.
Was like.
A lot of things.
No, it was gutless.
A lot of things. Yeah, there's a lot of things. Coward, gutless. There was a lot of
he's
words.
Like, he's a great teammate, but he was gutless near the sideline. But I enjoyed playing with him mostly.
Oh, thanks, Joel. You're welcome back anytime. Yeah, no, I'd love to have you back here in studio again. That will be it for you, Dreesen.
I love it.
No, I love Joel. But Jerry Judy, you know, that one catch that he had there and just turning up, he got 30 yards on that play. But a lot of positives from Drew Lock, and that's what he needed to do. He had to have that type of performance. Maybe not those types of yards, but he couldn't turn the football over. He made the plays that were there. KJ Hamler's wide open, but that's not an easy throw 60 yards down the football field. That's a hard throw. It's not a layup, guys. I mean, I saw some people on Twitter talking about, oh, he was wide open. Yeah, he was wide open, but sometimes those are the most difficult throws to make.
Mm.
Perfect throw. So kudos on that one. The one to Judy was my favorite. If you're ready to go there right now.
Same.
That was my favorite.
Same.
Because he hung in the pocket.
Yep.
He went through progressions. One, two, three. You know, last year he would have got spooked and tried to escape the pocket and, you know, and then he would have thrown it away or thrown an interception. This year he was patient, hung in the pocket. He had time. Great job, offensive line. Had a ton of time. Found Judy. First down. Judy makes a play with his legs and, you know, you go from a 6-7 yard first down to, I don't know what it was, 30 yards?
33 yard
catch and run. I mean, but that play from Drew Lock, it showed me something. I've been waiting for that. And I really haven't seen that all the practice I've been there. But when it mattered the most, he hung in there, was patient, trusted his teammates, trusted his offensive line, and got to his, you know, third, fourth read, whatever it was, for a huge play. So he was great. Did what he had to do. Because if he didn't have that type of performance, I thought it was going to be, you know, a wrap, game over.
So and you're on it. It felt like we were on the brink of it being a wrap. It did, because I think most folks had Bridgewater a little bit ahead, but it wasn't just that. There's also context to who is making the decision in their previous history. And it's, you just can't be naive enough to think that that didn't matter. On Friday, in the last segment of our show, in addition to nailing an awesome prediction that we'll get into later.
Bro, stop. You don't get credit for that. You don't get credit for that. I'm not giving you credit. You're not taking credit.
The credit has been taken.
No.
I made a phenomenal prediction.
No, you didn't.
We'll get to it.
You can't make 20 predictions and then come in here on Monday because one hits and start bragging about it. I'm not letting you do that. Okay? I'm just not. Man up and make one prediction. And if it hits, I say, hey, there you go. There you go.
Falling in my trap.
But you can't do that.
So I said on Friday, I said, the hope is that Drew Lock balls out of control, and we come in here with the entire conversation being reset. And I think that happened. Like, improbably. Like, we talked about this. Like, well, what would balling mean? Like, what would balling look like? We're like, well, I mean, I said, I don't know the definition of it, but I know it when I see it.
Yeah.
And you go out there, and you throw for 151 yards on 7 attempts, just 5 completions for 2 touchdowns. No turnovers, a QBR that was the number one in the entire NFL for any quarterback that played. I understand that everyone didn't play their starters. I get that. But there was a lot of quarterbacks that played week one in the preseason. And no one had a better, a higher QBR than Drew Lock. He balled. Part of the problem is, though, you know who had the second highest QBR?
Who?
Teddy Bridgewater.
Oh, wow.
I mean, you can't make that up.
Wow.
Of all the quarterbacks that played this weekend, those two guys were the one and number two most efficient. I mean, it just, it's really wild. So I don't know how much got reset. I mean, I'll ask you, what Drew Lock did on Saturday, how much did he shift the dynamic here?
Oh, in a big way. Look, I thought this thing was pretty much over. I really thought it was a wrap. I'm like, they could call it now. But now I think he got the coach's attention. I think he really okay. I mean, are we going to see more of that from him? What you want to see, though, you want to see more of it. Like, he only played, you know, threw the ball 7 times. And obviously, both quarterbacks benefited from better rosters than the other team, better players than the other team, right? And that's both quarterbacks here. I mean, Teddy Bridgewater benefited from Trinity Benson just, you know, destroying his guy a few times, which is part of it. But he delivered and made good throws. I think this thing has been, you know, reset to a certain degree here. I don't think it's completely all of a sudden everything that Drew has done in the past is forgotten about. I still think the coaches are a little bit wary of that.
Oh, yeah.
Right? I mean, how could you not be?
No question.
How could you not be in this situation? But if he continues, I think, you know, now to build off what we just saw on Saturday, now I do think that he could win this thing. Where before, I thought it was a wrap. He needed this type of performance, and he delivered in a big way.
if you are looking for an indicator on how Vic Fangio views this thing, now we've talked about this. Both of you and I find it very reasonable to believe that Vic Fangio has a lean towards Teddy Bridgewater in this thing.
Yes.
If you wanted an indicator of that, it came at halftime in an unbelievable interview. Now, at halftime, Drew Lock had already gone 5-for-7 for 151 yards, 2 touchdowns, a quarterback rating of 153, averaged over 21 yards per completion. Bridgewater had yet to lead that touchdown drive.
Right.
Okay? This is Vic Fangio in the exchange with Rod Mackey.
All right, here we go. I'm here at Vic Fangio. Coach's quarterback battle. I know you've called it even, Steven. Drew Lock came out certainly impressed in those series with a couple touchdown passes.
He did, and Teddy came out and played good, too. So I guess my even Steven was right on.
Okay. I mean, you can't make that up. You can't make that up.
No.
Like, what did you think about Drew? We just saw something we haven't seen in years, Coach. Here's the mic.
The other guy did pretty good, too.
Say, yeah, well, Teddy played pretty good, too. I mean, that was
very telling.
The first, that was his instinct to say, yeah, he was pretty good, but so was Teddy. So I guess, I mean, my even Steven, Bridgewater hadn't thrown that touchdown yet. Bridgewater hadn't, like, this was, we saw the best case scenario from Drew Lock, an incomplete, unfocused picture of Teddy. And that was the initial reaction.
Do you think in their mind that they view Teddy as the guy that was going to be the starter and he was heading towards that direction and this kind of threw a wrench in it? And let's not overreact. And kind of like, you know, what we're talking about. I mean, you don't want to overreact to 7 throws here and all of a sudden you get that hype train going and now, you know, it's going to be hard to pick Teddy over Drew. So let's, you know, calm the waters here. Do you think that is kind of why he said what he said?
100%. 100%. And you use the verbiage that Aaron Rodgers used. That me go and win an MVP threw a monkey wrench in their plans. On Friday, we talked about, and I brought this up to you. I said, with the understand, like if you can go far enough in your head to say yes, Vic Fangio is leaning towards Teddy Bridgewater, and I think that is super inbounds and reasonable for a bunch of different reasons. But if you can go there with that thought, do you really and you believe that Teddy is the gonna put you in the best position to win your first freaking football game in September? Do you really want Drew Lock to go out there and ball out of control? And I'm not saying
not like that. No, you really don't.
And I tried to be so delicate with that on Friday because I want to say I want to make sure Vic Fangio's not like rooting against Drew Lock. But if you have an avenue, coaches have a plan. They believe in guys. They don't believe in guys.
Yep.
And when you establish those thoughts in your head, not to say he was actively rooting against Drew, but to think that Drew did not throw a monkey wrench into his plans, I think is also naive.
Yeah, I mean, because you hear that answer at halftime. It's like, whoa, but Teddy also. And he's talking about, oh, this is what we're telling you, even Steven here. You know, let's pump the brakes on Drew, and let's not forget Teddy played well also. You know, all the talk about Drew, but, you know, that kind of doesn't fit what we want here, so let's make sure that we get some Teddy some love here. It's going to be interesting to see how this week plays out, what this game looks like. But Teddy needs to go out and play well. I mean, Teddy played well on Saturday, but he needs to go out there and play well with this first group. But who will he be going up against? You know what I mean?
Exactly.
Everything is in context here, and we got to remember that. And you can't just look at certain stats and, you know, pull a James Merrillat and go, oh, my goodness, you know, look at this. He's got to be the starter. It's not about one game.
Shots
it's not
fired.
About 7 attempts.
Shots fired.
Yes, absolutely. Good. It's a Monday. Perfect. Let's go.
Love it.
Let's get the party started.
Love
right?
it.
When are we going to get him on?
We can certainly be joined by James.
Perfect.
Later.
But it's not about one game. It's about everything. We're putting everything together.
But aren't the games weighed more?
Of course. But how much more? How much more? I mean, I think just a little bit more.
I think a lot more.
Not when you're going against twos and threes. But, not when you're going against twos and threes.
But just lift that same thought and apply it to practice. Why would practice be weighed even close to as equally when you can't even come near the quarterback? Guys aren't getting tackled to the ground. Like,
I'm saying the games are worth a little bit more. But so I'm not talking about one practice to one game, but when you look at five practices.
Okay.
Four practice, right? Okay. I mean, you have a lot of offseason, plus Drew Lock's bad history last year. All that matters in who they're going to determine who the starting quarterback is. It's not about one game and let's forget about everything else. It's the NFL. You got a few ones playing up against a lot of backups. You're running the football great, right? And, you know, okay, you're hoping your quarterback does make some plays there when you're running the football and you're playing against backups. I mean, I'm just telling you the truth here. I'm not knocking Drew. He made some great throws, some big-time throws. That's
for
what
sure,
you want to see.
Sure.
But I'm just telling you how they're looking at this. This is how the Broncos coaches are looking at this.
Sure.
Not me.
Sure.
Right?
Sure.
It's not like, oh, my gosh. You know, James looks at it a little bit differently. You know, he wants to crown him right now and say Drew has won this thing. But, man, we got to, you know, we got it, it's much more than that.
You know, we had the conversation last week talking about the order of this quarterback battle, and was there an advantage to one guy more than the other? And this was one of your thoughts here, and the reason I remember it because it stuck out. You
good or bad?
Good.
Oh.
It was good because this week, is an NFL coach more liable to play, or more likely, rather, to play their starters in the first preseason game or the second preseason game when you have three on the schedule?
Second.
Probably second, right? You know third, you're not going to see any against the Rams. So with that...
I don't know. You could. And we don't know how teams are going to navigate. I mean, Rams won't be playing any
Rams
probably.
Won't be.
Yes, but Broncos, they might, because now you have like an extra bye week, right, in between that game and the opener. Like, there's like 2 weeks before
yes.
the next game.
Yes.
So some teams might play a lot of starters.
They could.
Yeah.
They could. I think it's more likely that Seattle will play starters in week two, more of them than week one. Seattle's defense was a touchdown better than Minnesota's defense last year. I know it's a new year, but it's the context that we have. So you're gonna see I think it's safe to say, a better defense this coming week with the starters. This is Teddy's week to start. Now, he'll have more ones probably around him, but still, you're facing a tougher defense, a better defense with more of their starters. Drew is going to play against twos and threes, and I just wonder how much, like, if Teddy doesn't play great, how much of that is factored in from the coaching staff? Like, well, you know, we're going to take more of what Drew did with a grain of salt. This is closer to what we're actually going to experience against the New York Giants.
Yeah, no, it's a good point. So, I think you have to weigh everything here. You know, it's not just like one thing or the other. You have to look at these things and go through it with a fine-tooth comb. And, okay, well, you know, Drew's going up against a lot of backups. And yeah, we had backups, but, you know, we did have four or five starters in there. You have to look at it from that perspective. You can't just – everything's not even here.
Right.
Right, some things are skewed one way or another, and they will, and that's the way they'll look at it. So it's interesting, man. But Drew did what he had to do. Ultimately, that's the bottom line here. I that's where I'm at.
Yeah,
he needed to have a performance like that.
He needed it.
He couldn't turn the football over and
right.
make some boneheaded mistakes. And on top of that, he needed to make a few plays, and he did both of those things. So Drew Lock did what he had to do to really extend this conversation for me.
And that's what he's done. Great, great point.
And maybe take a little bit of a lead, depending on what kind of view you're looking at here. So it could have been game over, but, you know, from my perspective, it could have been game over on Saturday, and he pulled an Undertaker and came out of
yes.
the grave,
yes.
and he's back, and it's a legit conversation now. It's a legit competition now. I mean, this thing is wide open. It could go either way, where a week ago, I'm like, man, let's wrap this thing up. This thing's over.
Well, I think you're right. Wait, hold on. I hear something.
Uh-oh. Oh, no. It's back!
Chugga-chugga. Chugga-chugga. Drew.
Oh! Oh! Chugga 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 chugga. Drew.
You're
only
there for the good times, huh? I mean, you didn't play that much last year.
That thing did not deserve to get played a whole heck of a lot last year. But you're right. It's like the ref counting one, two, and that hand is halfway down. It's not over. That's the Undertaker's music. He walked through the fires of hell to fight his brother Kane.
Oh, my gosh. All right. Great stuff. Just great stuff. We have so much to react to today. Stoke, we will return to the quarterback conversation and take a look at it from 20,000-foot view. But we'll put that on the back burner for now, because there's good first impressions, and then there's what Patrick Surtain did.
Mm.
Oh, my goodness. Take a dive into it coming up next.
It's Training Camp 50-50, Teddy versus Drew, powered by Twin Peaks. Here's Stokely and Zach.
Surtain intercepted. Surtain down the sideline. Touchdown, Broncos. And it's all clicking for Denver this afternoon.
It was all clicking for the Denver Broncos. Can't remember the last time any version of a football game the Broncos just beat the brakes off someone for four quarters. I mean, just physically whooped them every phase of football.
I mean, the one game that comes to mind is the Cowboys game, you know.
Week two back in 2017?
Yeah. That comes to mind. I'm sure there was another one or two here it's happened. That game was just a beatdown.
Yep.
Defense down, like all four phases. Defense, Zeke had like 5 yards rushing.
Yep, he averaged 0.9 yards per carry that day.
Yeah, it was that was that type of performance against the Vikings.
I like that. I like that deep cut. Okay, there's good first impressions, and then there's what Patrick Surtain did. I mean, this dude, in 11 coverage snaps, he allowed 0 catches. He had one pass breakup that probably should have led to an interception for his teammate. He had the pick six that everyone's talking about, and rightfully so. According to Pro Football Focus, Surtain was the highest graded rookie corner after the first week, had a grade of 94.5. Next closest was Marco Wilson with an 84.5. So, like, wasn't close.
When you get a pick six and you don't get a completion caught on you, you're going to have a pretty good ranking, right?
Pretty good.
Yeah.
Pretty good. This was Vic Fangio after the game talking about Patrick Surtain's performance.
Now, he played well, obviously, and I expect a lot out of him. We only played him at corner today. We did not play him inside at all. And I wanted him to just play one position today, get back to that. And they didn't play their starting quarterbacks. You know, that was one big advantage for us. We played our two starting quarterbacks. They didn't. But still, you know, you got to go out there and make the plays, and he did it.
Yeah, I mean, look, Vic told you. I'm going to tell you. I mean, I don't know who that quarterback in there was that threw that interception.
Jake Browning.
Yeah, exactly. My point. You can't throw an out route late behind the guy. I mean, that's what he did. But also, credit to Patrick Surtain. You can tell he's a smart football player, okay? Anytime a receiver has a cut split, means a split that is not out wide, an inside tight split. He has outside leverage on the guy already. You know the guy's going to do a few things. And one of them is that speed cut out. And, you know, it's either going to be the 5-yard one or the 10-yard one. And he read it. He jumped it, and the quarterback made a bad throw. That ball for the quarterback has to be, it's your ball or nobody. That ball has to be caught, receiver going out of bounds.
Right.
And so it was an awful throw. It was late, didn't have any mustard on it. But Pat Surtain, you can tell he is a smart football player by picking up the little clues about assignment, like where is that guy aligning? And with the cut split from the wide receiver, you know, that tells you a little bit. And when that guy starts going vertical like that, you're thinking out route. And he jumped it, pick six, love it. Like Vic said, you only go up against who you go up. You either make the play or you don't make the play. And it's not Pat Surtain's fault that they're playing, you know, backups.
No.
Take advantage of it, and he did. That was a big-time play. So, great play by him.
I mean, what a first impression, right? And we know the conversation that surrounds Pat Surtain and, you know, what the Broncos did and didn't do on draft night. For him to just come on the scene and sort of kick the door down, I mean, we get the context of the preseason game and, you know, who the quarterback was and all this stuff. But, you know, I just – Patrick Surtain excites me. There's actually not a ton of players on the Broncos that, like, legitimately excite me. There's probably four or five. He's one of them. And just seeing him out there with that number two and that crisp white jersey, taking one to the house in his first ever game as a Bronco, that's awesome, man. It's awesome. You got to see that length on display as well. He's got great measurables, and you got to see that length, like I said, front and center there in that first half. So if you're George Payton, I mean, you got to feel pretty good. You know, I'm just, again, context is everything.
Yeah.
But...
It is, and so that's why, you know, I'm not as, like, as giddy maybe as you are right now, but because it is preseason. I've seen guys, you know, just do great things in preseason and not back it up in the regular season, and especially when you have a lot of hype surrounding you, just like wait and see here.
Do the Broncos have a lot of hype, though?
No, not the Broncos. I'm talking about Pat Surtain.
Gotcha.
Remember, that's the guy we've been talking about for the last 5 minutes, Pat Surtain?
Well, I thought you were talking about with broad strokes of the preseason.
No. Get focused.
I am totally locked in, and that was apparently not necessary, not. In fact.
Apparently not.
Because what you're saying applies to the Broncos team. But here's what I'll tell you. That these Broncos, and this fan base is in a different spot than they have ever been. Ever, like, in the most literal sense. It has never been this bad at the NFL level for the Denver Broncos the way that it has been these last 4 years. I mean, it's dreadful. The Broncos have a worse record than the Browns in the last 4 years, and the Browns had an 0-16 season mixed in there.
Mm.
This franchise is at the bottom, all right? So to see a first impression of who they're going to be in 2021. It's not a referendum on, you know, who they're going to be or sweeping projection or forecast that this team's going to be 10-7. Hey, here's a newsflash. If you think that I'm giddy today, I don't think that they're going 10-7. All right? But I'm excited
to
see.
I'm talking about Pat Surtain. Like, I'm tapering my expectations because he is a young football player, and there will be growing pains. So that's it. And the same thing when I hear, I'm not just doing it with the Bronc, you know, Pat Surtain, but like Justin Fields.
Right.
You know, you've been hearing all the hype during training camp, and then, you know, he played well. But a couple of those throws are scheme throws.
Mm-hmm.
One of them was a guy went over the top of a DB and made some unbelievable catch. So,
right.
Like, you have to remember these things.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, so it's in context here. And then you go back and you, like, look at Mitchell Trubisky's first preseason game and see how well that he played. And so that's why I'm just pumping the brakes here. Good or bad for me. And, like, I'm not going to overreact to a bad performance from the Broncos as a whole. So, look, Pat Surtain looks like a great player. I'm not crowning him yet. I think a lot of people are, but we'll see how it plays out.
All we have to draw from is this one baby example.
Yeah, I realize that.
So
I realize it. Yeah,
I understand what you're saying. You're being very measured today.
Measured, yes.
All right? You are.
Yes.
You are. And that's that's
calculated,
yes.
Measured, yes.
All that stuff. And
that's who I am.
That is... That's the right approach. But can we just have a day? Can we just have a day that we're like, considering how bad it's been around here, the Broncos won by 27.
That's fine. It's a stinking first preseason game. I don't know. Yeah, you can have a day if you want to, but I'm not going to have a day.
You're not going
to
have a day.
No,
no,
I'm not.
Look at
I've already told you. Drew played great. Loved what I saw from him. Teddy played really well. Loved some things that I saw from him. Pat Surtain, great job. But I'm not going to sit here and, like, you know, think that we have solved all our issues here and we're going to the playoffs. No, it's a stinking preseason game. I'm not having a day, Zach. Have your day. And if Broncos Country want to have their day, have their day. That's fine. I'm not going to rain on their parade, but I'm also going to keep it real.
Hey.
And you're not keeping it real today.
Yes, I am.
No, you're not.
Yeah, look. I said this is not a referendum. It's not a sweeping projection. But the Broncos went out and played really good football. That's all. Did they do it against backups? Yeah, they did. But they went out and played good football. That's all.
Yeah, and I've acknowledged that. But I'm also telling you, it was a stinking first preseason game.
You're right.
And
you're right. What am I going to say? But, you know, this is all we have to draw from yet.
Yep. Thank you. I know that.
So the early returns are as good as they could be. That's also true, too.
Yes, it is. It absolutely is.
I like your attitude.
But it doesn't change the fact that, you know, there's still a long way to go in this whole process.
When
you look at a guy like Pat Surtain, when you look at a guy like Justin Fields, when you look at a guy, you know, whether it's Trevor Lawrence, Zach Wilson, I mean, it's a long way to go before we can decide, you know, this guy is the real deal or this guy's not the real deal. And there's always such a rush to crown guys and to, you know, say a bust, all these things. And I'm just like, right, like, I'm not doing that. I'm not doing that. And I'm not going to overreact to one performance from Drew or Teddy. That's where I'm at. And
I'm not asking you to overreact.
Yeah, you are.
I'm just asking you to react.
I did. And I told you, I did react. I told you Drew was great. Loved a couple of his throws. That 60-yard throw, people like, oh, people were saying, not me. That was a layup. I'm like, those are some of the hardest throws. That guy's wide open. And sometimes those are the most difficult throws. Great throw. Either you make it or you don't. The one to Judy, my favorite one. You know, go 1, 2, 3, clock's ticking. He hung in there, found Judy, boom, 30-something yard gain. Loved it.
All right.
But I'm not going to overreact.
Like
you are.
No, my words are not overreacting. I think my tone comes across like I'm overreacting. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Because I am excited what I saw.
I'm excited about what I saw,
about
too.
Bad Broncos football and the idea that the Broncos could be actually, like, competent is exciting. For me. So we're going to continue to break this one down. Did we see a true flash of what John Elway and maybe Stokely envisioned on draft night 2020.
I'm going to break down the play for you.
We'll get to it next.
It's Training Camp 50-50. Teddy versus Drew, powered by Twin Peaks. Here's Stokely and Zach.
Off the play fake. Locke comes out firing. Was a deep shot's got a man wide open. It's caught. It's KJ Hamler. The throw's a beauty. Beats Cameron Dantzler for the touchdown.
That's what it sounded like on Saturday afternoon.
How about that? Steve Levy with a little... Who is this guy again? The Astro Man guy. What's his name?
Travis Scott.
Yeah. With a little Travis Scott bumping behind him. I can get down with that, Richie. Nice work.
Who the gangster?
Yeah.
All right.
There it was.
There it was. Now, you go back to draft night. Last year, you did not love the Hamler pick. I was a huge fan of what John did.
Tell something.
I try, John.
Oh, man.
Try to tell him what Hamler could be for this offense.
Hey, but once again, I'm not overreacting to that. Like, it made me happy, of course. But then again, I'm like, okay, it's just one play. But that was what I was hoping to see from KJ Hamler more last year.
Right.
Some schemed up plays, right? And I put it more on Pat Shurmur last year. Like, you have got to find ways to get this guy in space, get the football in his hands, take some shot plays. And they didn't do it. He was a rookie. He was banged up a little bit. So, okay, whatever. This year, correct that mistake and find ways to get him the football. You saw the little jet sweep thing to him.
Yep.
Love it. Shot play there with the post. Love it. But you got to find ways to get him the football. But I'm not sitting here saying, oh, told you so, Zach.
No.
Not right now. Not doing it. But I will. But I will eventually.
No. Well, so just to reset the dynamic of draft night 2020, you loved the fact that John went out and went receiver.
I thought Hamler was a good pick. I thought it was a good. I didn't have any issue with going receiver at all. Like, they needed a huge upgrade. Go for it. So no issue at all.
I was not as much of a fan because I thought
there were more holes for this football team to address.
Yeah.
And to go receiver, receiver, when you already had a number one in Sutton. I made the analogy, like, you left the house with an amazing steak in your fridge.
Uh-huh.
And you went and got another steak, and then the other steak was marked down, and you're like, screw it, we're just going to get another steak. And yeah. I was like, wait, well,
you need some, later. Like, you don't know what's going to happen in a week.
Maybe get some corn to mix in. Maybe get some spinach or a noodle.
Get the athletes.
A pasta.
Playmakers. Because, can never have too many.
Because you were trying to put together a meal, right? So it was never about anyone with a actively working brain that was listening to me knew that it was never about KJ personally.
Right.
I would say that ad nauseum. It's not about KJ Hamler, the football player. It's about the receiver and being the seventh general manager ever to go receiver in the history of the draft in the first and second round. I just didn't think that that's what the Broncos needed.
We'll see how it plays out this year.
We'll see how it plays out.
But this is what we wanted to see. This is what John was hoping to see.
No
when
doubt.
He took KJ Hamler.
No doubt.
He's a speedster. He's a difference maker. He's tough. You know, all those things. And that's what you were hoping to see if you're John Elway. We'll see how it plays out throughout the year, but I put some of it on Pat Shurmur last year.
Sure.
Right?
Sure.
He's got to do a better job of diagramming things and coming up with plays and getting the football in his hands because that guy's a difference maker. But to break down that play, if you want me to.
Yeah, of course.
Of course. What you saw from the Vikings there was quarters coverage. So quarters coverage is the cornerback has a quarter of the field, the safety has a quarter of the field, the other safety has a quarter of the field, and the other corner has a quarter of the field. You got it? Four quarters makes one full field, right?
That makes sense.
That's what it is. And the issue for that defense is, especially when you're running the football well, that set up everything. The run game. Well, that safety, both those safeties are also responsible for run support. So when they see play action pass, what happens? They freeze. Or they start coming downhill to help out in the run game, especially when you've had success running the football. Well, when you're flat-footed and KJ Hamler's running full speed, game over. And that's what happened to that safety. Flat-footed, you know, looking in the backfield, is it a run? No, it's not. KJ Hamler's by him. The other safety, Jerry Jeudy, was running a 12, 14-yard stop route, curl route, and he got the backside safety's attention. So the backside safety was helping out on the other wide receiver, Jerry Jeudy. And that's why all that space was wide open on the other side of the football field. You had so much space over there because the corner and the backside safety were on Jeudy, and the other safety was flat-footed, couldn't get back fast enough. And so it was a byproduct of a great running game and speed.
Love
there
it.
You go. Touchdown.
Love it.
Boom.
Love it.
But that's what the running game can provide for you. And Javonte Williams was running it early. They had to respect it. They're playing that defense. It was the perfect defense for what the Broncos dialed up.
I love it. We also saw the run game. And maybe this was maybe one of the more important plays for Drew on Saturday is that they start the game off that first handoff to Javonte Williams. He pops one for like 11. They hand it right back to him, pops one for like 13, and that sets up the play-action pass to KJ Hamler that ended up being, I don't know how long it went for, but maybe 25 yards or something like that, right down the middle, maybe to the right of the football field. And just like that first big completion for Locke off play-action. I thought that was low-key big. You get that first big completion out of the way.
It was a keeper, I think. It was a keeper, but it's a bootleg, so it's based off the running game.
Yep.
To Hamler, yes.
Yep. And I went back and watched it yesterday morning, and you just watch the linebackers on the fake handoff. They're just taking a big lunge forward, and then it's, oh, crap. So, you know, that running game, complimentary football that we talk about, you know,
quarterback's
playing
best friend.
Strengths, yeah.
I don't care if it's Teddy or Drew, they're going to need a good running game for the Broncos to be successful.
Right.
They're going to run the football. We've told you that, you know, since, March and April. This has got to be a running football team. And they drafted Javonte Williams, this offensive line. That's how you're going to win. Run the football, make a few plays in the passing game, play great defense. There you go. That's the Broncos recipe. And it looked great on Saturday. If they can continue that and continue to run the football the way they ran the football, it makes it difficult on defenses because you have to start overextending yourself.
Yep.
and doing things that you don't want to do. And you don't run the football. That play you're talking about, the KJ Hamler, the keeper out the backside, nobody's biting on that. Linebackers like take one half step. Oh, nope. And then they get back in the area. Now Hamler's not open. That backside defensive end isn't crashing down because he doesn't believe you're going to actually run it. So he goes up the field. Boom. You know, Locke has to throw it away or he's sacked. That's the difference.
Love it. This is KJ Hamler talking about the big play.
You know, basically he was just saying, "Okay, if you know if the safety drops, I'm throwing it." So I'm like, "All right." So I already had my mind made up, and I read the coverage. You know, read the safeties and the corners and stuff, and it was just like we planned. So and I just ran by him. That's really all.
And then safety drops, safety freezes. That's what happened. Safety didn't really drop. Safety was down low. They didn't have a deep middle field safety, but safety kind of just flat footed what Drew was talking about, and game over.
This is Drew on the broadcast in the second half talking about that play.
We talked about it in the huddle. I'm like, look, if you get the quarter safety, just run as fast as you can. And sure enough, that's what we got. Boundary safety came up, field safety came up. We knew we had the whole field to work with. I just had to put it out there to him and let him go run underneath and get it.
There you go. Had the quarters. That's the look that you want with the play action. You got the look you want. Drew saw it, and he delivered. So, you know, was he wide open? Yeah, but you still got to make the throw.
And, that's it.
And he did it. So
I love it.
Yeah.
I love to see it. Love to see it. All right. For one rookie, it may have not been Patrick Surtain's, like, put the league on notice type of arrival. Still, pretty damn good. We'll take a dive into it coming up next.
Miss any of Stokely and Zach? Make sure to subscribe to our on-demand podcast. You'll get every episode as soon as they're released. Just subscribe wherever you get your podcasts or at 1043thefan.com.